let the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to battle? If the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to battle? I'd like to lift this text out of its story tonight, and out of its position in the Scriptures, and just preach on the text itself. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, we have basically the subject of the unknown tongue. The apostle is writing to the church at Corinth, which was composed of baby Christians, and trying to straighten them out on the doctrine of tongues. And then in this discussion about tongues, the apostle makes a statement something like this. If we who have life do not give a certain sound, we are like instruments made by hand that have no life, like a trumpet, if you please, that gives an uncertain sound, and one cannot understand the sound that it gives, and people do the wrong thing. Now, a trumpet in the Bible was not exactly as a trumpet is today. A trumpet was a wind instrument made of horn, of the horn of an animal, or artificially made like the horn of an animal. It was loud and audible at a great distance. It was used for several purposes. The trumpet was used in the first place in war to assemble the army. When Gideon assembled his men to fight the Midianites, he did so by the blowing of a trumpet. It was used not only for the assembling of the army, but it was used for a watchman as he would blow the trumpet to sound the alarm. Around the cities, in fact, you will see around Jerusalem when you get there and some other cities, back in those days they had walls, and many times those walls were so thick that people lived between them, an outer wall and an inner wall, and folks would build little houses, dwelling places between the two walls. And on the top of the wall, there would be a watchman's place. The watchman would walk, and he would, if he saw an enemy approaching, he would blow the trumpet. And so the trumpet was used to warn the citizenry of an alarm that was imminent. It was also used to proclaim the crowning of a king. When a king was announced or proclaimed or crowned, the trumpet was blown. If you'll read your Bible carefully, you'd find when Absalom was crowned, even briefly, the trumpet was blown. When Jehu was crowned, the trumpet was blown. When Solomon was crowned as king, the trumpet was blown. And so it was used as the blowing of the proclaiming or crowning of a king. It also sounded the bringing in of the year of Jubilee. Those who've been with us on our Wednesday evening studies know what the year of Jubilee is. The year of Jubilee was 1 year out of 50, when all the people turned back to the original owner all of his property, and property reverted to the original owner. If you bought something in these days, in Bible times, you only bought it for the amount of time until 49 years was up. If you bought a piece of property and it had been 40 years since the last year of Jubilee, you only bought it for the remaining 10. For each 49 years, the 50th year was the year of Jubilee. Now, this year was ushered in by the blowing of the trumpet. It also was used in battle as a warning of an attack. It was used to start the attack, to stop the attack, to pursue the enemy, to stop the pursuit. The blowing of the trumpet. Now, bear in mind this. Not the same note, or not the same number of blows or toots. Not the same number. Each particular event had a different number played on the trumpet. It was also used to blow when time for offering came. When the offering time came, they'd blow the trumpet. Now, the blowing of the trumpet, one way meant offering time. Still another way to blow the trumpet meant an oncoming enemy. Still another way was a warning from the watchman on the wall. Still another way ushered in the year of Jubilee. Still another way proclaimed the coronation or crowning of a king. And so from all of these usages of the trumpet, we find the verse in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 8, tucked away very insignificantly to describe something else. But it says, if the trumpet have an uncertain sound, how shall we prepare ourselves for battle? The uncertain sound of the trumpet. Now here's the picture. The apostle is writing the church at Corinth, and he is warning them about the use of the tongues, the way they were using them. They were talking in tongues in public. No one was there to interpret. They were doing it for their own self-edification. And the apostle was rebuking them for doing so and trying to straighten out these baby Christians on the tongues issue. Now he says this. He says it's a lot better to prophesy than it is to speak in tongues. Now prophesying is what I'm doing right now. Prophesying is simply teaching and preaching the Word of God. It is much better to prophesy. In fact, he said that it's thousands of times better to prophesy than to speak in tongues. And then to illustrate that, he says, if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, well, the folks won't know what's happening. Here's a fellow, he's walking guard and looking out from the top of the wall around the city. And he sees an onrushing enemy. And he picks up the trumpet. And he blows the trumpet and gives the sound for the year of Jubilee. And the people get ready for the year of Jubilee, but that isn't what it is. There's an enemy coming. There's an attack on the way. And the people are not ready for the enemy. And defeat and shame and death come. Why? Because the trumpeter did not play the certain sound on the trumpet. Here's the man watching on the wall. Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 6. We'll get to that after a while. Here's a man watching on the wall, and he sees the enemy coming, and he picks up the trumpet, and he does not blow a certain sound, and the people do not know what's happening, and he blows the sound for the coronation of a king. And the people say, what's happened? The king dead? We got a crown of the king? What's happened to the king? And the people do not prepare themselves for battle. Why? Because the man who played the trumpet gave an uncertain sound on the trumpet. Now, what the apostle is saying is this. He's saying, let it always come forth from the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, a clear and a clear sound, so people can always know the truth, and the sound will never be uncertain coming from the trumpet. Now, everyone else in our generation is giving a certain sound with the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody wonders what the pacifists think. They demonstrate against the war in Vietnam. They make it loud and clear, and they give a certain sound on their trumpet that they're opposed to capital punishment. They make no bones about it. They think we ought to withdraw our troops. And God pity our president if he kowtows and bows to these pacifists trying to leave our boys who have bled and died in Vietnam without a thing worthwhile to be won. You say what you want to say, and you can call me what you want to call me. You call me a hawk or a dove or a buzzard. That's what I'm usually called. But you call me what you want to call me. Brother, we've got some boys that shed their blood on the battlefield in Vietnam. What do you mean, pulling out without victory? America's never known anything like that before. The pacifists, they don't give an uncertain sound. They write on their placards and they walk up and down in front of the White House and with a certain sound and with clear language they tell us what they think. A certain sound comes from the race riders. Nobody wonders what the late Martin Luther Kings and the Abernathys are doing. They give a certain sound, loud and clear. And we know their stand. Everybody knows their stand. They have their demonstrations. They have their race riots. They have their sit-ins. They have their love-ins. They have all these things. And nobody wonders what they believe. Why? Because when they pick up their trumpet, they blow a certain sound. Nobody wonders what the communists are trying to do. They stand up now in America and blatantly tell what they're trying to do. Their job is to destroy American freedom and close the doors of fundamentalist churches. And don't you let them kid you for a minute. They only are for freedom as long as they're in the minority. They're using the freedom that God's people have died for in America with which to get a foothold and spread their propaganda so someday they can destroy and choke the freedom that our country now knows. They blow a certain sound on their trumpet. Nobody wonders what they're trying to do. Nobody wonders about their goals. Everyone knows they've got their goals set to take from America our capitalistic system, which, by the way, I'm for, and by the way, I like the word capitalism. Everyone is giving a certain sound. The sexists, they blow their horn, their trumpet loud and clear. They're trying to destroy everything decent in America. The Playboy magazine blows its horn loud and clear. The homosexual advocates are blowing their trumpets loud and clear. On every side, marching like armies from hell, there come the enemies of the book and the church and our nation. From every place these people march, they're playing trumpet that everyone can understand what they're playing. I heard with these ears a high school teacher say, a lady and a young lady make this statement. I'm not quoting because it is not an accurate word-for-word quote. We're talking about the book of Mice and Men, which is being, in many of our public schools, required reading for our young people. In that book of Mice and Men, I've forgotten who wrote it all of a sudden. Who wrote it? Yeah, Steinbeck. In that book of Mice and Men, the most vulgar words in the language are used. I mean the kind you used to see written on the sidewalk and see written on restroom walls. Are written. And that English teacher said, and these ears heard her say it. She said, we're not using it in our English class, but I see nothing wrong with freshmen high school students reading that book for required reading in our high schools. She made no bones about it. By the way, I made no bones about my answer either. One of the teachers said to me, said, they'll read that kind of language on the restroom walls. And I said, yes, and wherever you require the restroom walls or make it required reading, I'm going to fight some more too. I'm simply saying, everybody says exactly what he believes except the preacher. And he's scared. Everybody blows a certain sound on the trumpet. Everybody makes a loud noise and says, this is right and this is wrong. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says that the preacher of the gospel is supposed to preach a message across the pulpit to the ears and hearts of the hearers that is clear and unmistakably clear and not an uncertain sound or wavering trumpet. And I get weary in my soul of everybody being dogmatic with the preacher. Everybody can holler with the preacher. Martin Luther King can holler. Abernathy can holler. Rat Brown can holler. Carmichael can holler. All the racists can holler. All of the pacifists can holler. Emotional men can get up and run for office. But let a preacher get a little bit excited and beat the pulpit a little bit and holler a little bit and become somewhat of a fanatic. I'll tell you, my brother, people are never going to sit up and take note of the gospel of Jesus Christ so we can get as excited about the truth as they can their filth and rot. If the trumpet play an uncertain sound, who's going to know the battle is on? Time the pulpit made a certain sound. Why? Same reason they had back in Israel's day. The preacher is supposed to be a man on a wall. The prophet Ezekiel had it written to him in Ezekiel chapter 3, I think it is, and again in 33. Twice the Lord said, I have set thee as a watchman on the wall. If you see Israel in her sins and do not warn her, she will die in her iniquity, and her blood will I require at your hands. But if you warn her, if you blow the trumpet, he says, and she die in her iniquity, her blood will I not require at your hands. God said, Ezekiel, you are a trumpet player, and you must sound the warning when the enemies come. And let me tell you, as long as I preach in this pulpit, sit in this chair, and stand in this place, if God will give me sound mind and strength of body, I aim to blow the horn when I see the enemies coming. Now, you say what you want to say. You can call me a bigot. You can call what you want to call me. But I'm not going to let people take over our children and rot their minds and ruin their lives and distort their futures and wreck their decency. I'm not going to let it happen without sounding the trumpet and say the enemy's on his way. God give us, there's nothing wrong in Hammond that preachers couldn't cure. Tonight, while I'm standing here, there are dozens of them sitting at home watching television with closed doors and lights out in their churches. They call themselves men of God. No wonder our nation's headed for hell. No wonder our young folks have lost their decency. No wonder our schools have lost their honor. No wonder our politicians have lost their integrity. Why? Because the men of God who have been placed as watchmen on the wall to blow the trumpet have not sounded the trumpet. And because of that, the average American doesn't know much is wrong anymore. Trumpet play an uncertain sound. Folks will not know. Communists are coming. Blow the trumpet, men of God. Atheists are coming. Blow the trumpet, men of God. Immorality is coming. Blow the trumpet, men of God. I can recall in my life, and I'm not an old man, but I can recall in my life where when you saw a preacher, you knew he stood for something and stood against something. Nowadays, with a sex education creeping like a rattlesnake into our public school system, nowadays, the tragedy is, if you see a man as a preacher, you don't even know what side he's on. The honest truth is, it's a little mamby-pamby. Now, I don't talk about fundamentalists like this. I'm talking about liberals. Little mamby-pamby fellows who wear skirts while they preach, get up in pulpits, and give a little sermonette to some Christianettes who smoke cigarettes, play a bit, rose water, pink tea, lemonade, book review, and don't know a thing about the Word of God. In fact, many of them deny the Word of God. And these very men are men on boards and committees in our neighborhood trying to cram this filthy, rotten, communistic sex education down the throats of our young people. God pity them. I'd rather be a bootlegger at the judgment bar of God than a man who's been given a trumpet, but who blows an uncertain sound. Atheism is coming. Blow the trumpet! Enemies are approaching. You watchmen on the wall, blow the trumpet. Battle is raging. But there's something else. We all blow the trumpet clearly and plainly about the fact the king is coming. The Israelites blew the trumpet when the king was coming. Coronation of a king. Boy, it's time the ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ looked up to heaven and looked to see what's going on in our world and made our people realize our Lord's coming draweth nigh. The king is coming. Blow the trumpet. Enemy is coming. Blow the trumpet. Hell is raging. Blow the trumpet. Know that. Jubilee is coming. They blew the trumpet for the year of Jubilee. The year of Jubilee represents that heavenly city, God's home prepared for us in heaven. Blow the trumpet. Look. I've been preaching from behind this pulpit or one just like it. And by the way, this pulpit is exactly like the one we had in the other building. It's a different color. It has a few different ornaments and so forth, or different, but the shape, the size, it's exactly the same height here, exactly the same height here, from here to here, from here to here, from here to here. It's the same thing. I had it because I felt at home with the other, and I had it. I've got a lot of markings up here where I hit the pulpit. You'll see them right here. You ever up here? I was in a certain church not long ago. Beautiful, beautiful church. And I preached, and in one sermon I got so excited, I scarred the pulpit all up on the top. When I finished, they appointed a committee to come up and see how they could paint the pulpit, the top of the pulpit. And I just tickled a fire out of me. You know, the pastor got his fingernail polish on it a little bit, but I preached behind this pulpit or the one next door for 10 years. I've been called a bigot. I've been called too funny. Folks have said he preaches too long. Some have said he preaches too loud. Some have said he's too mean. Some have said he's right wing. Some have said he's anti-democratic. Some have said he's too blunt. But nobody has ever walked out that door one Sunday morning or one Sunday night and wondered what I believe about what I preached on. Nobody. Why? Because the trumpet sounds a certain sound. When I preach on hell, you will know I believe it's hot. I preached one day over the other building on the fiery serpent. I'll never forget as long as I live. I preached on the fiery serpent. And I said the Israelites were bitten by these fiery serpents. They were everywhere. I said you'd wake up in the morning and you'd see them on the floor. I said you'd go outside it after you eat breakfast and it'd be at the front door. I said you'd open the drawer to get your underwear to put it on in the morning. And I said you'd see the serpent in the drawer. Why, I said they were under your feet. And the whole row of little boys and girls lifted up their feet like this. And make the message plain. When I preach on hell, you know it's got fire. You know I believe it's got fire. I've had dozens of people say this to me in these years. They've said, we don't believe what you preach, but we think you do. And we'd like to hear a man who believes what he preaches. Make the message plain. Make the message plain. Blow the trumpet clear. When I preach on heaven, you know I think it has golden streets and gates of pearl. When I preach on heaven, you know I think it's a place where God's born again people go. When I preach on going to heaven, I make it clear. You've got to get born again or you're going to go to hell. Never any doubt at all. Never. Why? Tell you why. I'm not trying to build a church. I'm not trying to compromise. I'm not trying to make friends. I'm trying to warn people of the wrath to come. Make the message plain. Make the message plain. Sound a certain sound on the trumpet. And that's what the Bible says here. It says, if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, how shall folks prepare themselves for battle? When I preach on sin, on the Bible. Nobody walks out of here wondering what I think about the Bible. The honest truth is, if you know anything about churches, you can walk in that door, watch this choir come in, and watch us walk in, and before I say one word, you'll know we're a fundamentalist church. If you can't tell there's something different by the fellows here on this platform or the way we walk in, then I want to fire every one of them. Why? I want the whole city of Hammond to know, and the whole world to know. We believe the Bible is the Word of God. Not the faulty, inspired Word of God does not contain the Word of God, but every word in this book, in the original language, was inspired by God Almighty. Make the message plain. A trumpet give an uncertain sound. How shall folks know to prepare themselves for battle? I'll go a step further. It was also blown at offering time. Offering time. Now, I don't say a great deal about money, but I make it very plain that I think you're walking on thin ice if you don't give God the 10% of your income. I warn you tonight that, listen, there are many people whose bodies rest in the Elmwood Cemetery. And what's the other name of the cemetery in town? Oak Lawn? Oakwood, Oak Hill, Oakdale. Anyway, listen, there are hundreds and thousands of people who have died prematurely and whose bodies rest tonight in under the ground in Hammond because they robbed God and did not give God 10% of their income. The hospitals are full of people like that. The papers are full of car wrecks like that. I have not minced any words to say this. If you do not give God one dime out of every dollar, you're walking on thin ice. You're not a good Christian, and you're playing with dynamite. Make the message plain. Sound the trumpet. The enemy is coming. Sound the trumpet. The king is coming. Sound the trumpet. Jubilee is coming. Sound the trumpet. It's time to give. Don't sound the Jubilee trumpet when it's time to fight. Don't sound the coronation trumpet when the enemy is on the way. Make the message plain. Sound the trumpet. Now, there are four reasons. There are four reasons for our problems in America today concerning the trumpet. In the first place, the unblown trumpet. Second place, the unheard trumpet. The third place, the uncertain trumpet. And the fourth place, the unheeded trumpet. Now, in the first place, the unblown trumpet. I say again, Ezekiel 33, verse 6, warns the watchman. If you see the people in their sins and see the enemy approaching, and as a watchman on the wall, you do not blow the trumpet. Their blood will I require at thine hand, so says the Lord. And if you don't blow the trumpet, listen. Why is it that preachers don't blow the trumpet? Why is it churches cease to be soul-saving institutions? If the National Council of the Churches would get their lobbies out of Washington, D.C., and clear their ranks of all their pinks and commies, and get back to the Bible and believe the Bible, and get their churches to preaching a new birth instead of a social gospel, and get more concerned about people getting born again and going to heaven than they are about the colored folks marrying the white folks, they would do more accidentally for the social ills of our nation than they're doing on purpose tonight. The unblown trumpet. A nation's going to hell, the trumpet goes unblown. Communism sweeping like a black tornado, and the nation and the trumpet goes unblown. Our youth being condemned and wrecked and ruined by atheistic teachers, and the trumpet goes unblown. The unblown trumpet. Now, in the first place, the trumpet's unblown because of unconverted blowers. Our pulpits are filled with men that know nothing about regeneration. There are thousands of men who, with their frock, came in this morning and stood behind pulpits and lighted candles and performed ritual and sprinkled water. There are thousands of them who know nothing about regeneration. They are not born again themselves. They don't know how to blow the trumpet. And then there are those who are liberal. If I belonged to a church and my pastor was not blowing the trumpet, I'd get me a new trumpet player. I would. I'd get me a man that knew how to play the trumpet or had enough blow to do it. If you'll check in the 19th chapter of Exodus, you'll find that when they blew the trumpet, the Lord said, blow it loud and long.
And that's what I try to do. Loud and long. Suppose that you walk by, let's say Carnegie Hall or the Civic Center. Let's say Carnegie Hall, New York City. And you saw a sign out there that said, trumpet concert tonight. Trumpet concert. Lindsay, you play the trumpet, don't you? Lindsay Terry playing a trumpet concert tonight. Well, I suspect that'd draw 8 or 10 people. Let's see, there's Rex and Mrs. Terry and his mother. But anyway, suppose that he could play the thing and give a certain sound on it. And trumpet concert tonight. So you said, I want to go in and hear a trumpet concert. So you walked in. And he didn't play the trumpet. He got a French harp and told all the virtues of the French harp and why the trumpet wasn't really a good instrument in the first place. You said, play the trumpet. Well, I don't even believe all the trumpets there. I don't even believe the trumpet. Well, on the outside it says, trumpet concert. Yeah, on the outside, a lot of buildings in town, it says churches too, but they don't believe the trumpet anymore. They don't believe the Bible. And that's one reason why the trumpet is not blown, because of unconverted liberals. They use the words of the fundamentalists so they can deceive the few born-again people they've got left in their churches and keep them there. Every once in a while, somebody comes to me and says, you're a sheep stealer. Now, I'm not trying to steal one member from a fundamental church. If you belong to a fundamental church tonight and you want to join our church, that's your business, but I'll not walk across the street talking into it. But if you belong to a church where they don't believe this Bible, I'll fly across the country to get you out of it. Is that plain? In my own tactful way, I try to get across what I believe. God pity the preachers who don't blow the trumpet. What's a preacher's job? To be a watchman on the wall and to say the end is coming. And I'll bind you one thing, boy. There's enough enemies today. I keep winded from blowing so hard. There's a second trumpet or trouble, and that is the unheard trumpet. The unheard trumpet. Oh, he blows all right, but he blows so softly nobody can hear it. He said, I believe in hell. I'd like to establish my position. When I came to Hammond, I preached one day on Hollywood, and brother, you found out now some of us preachers that condemned Hollywood back out when they were showing Mickey Mouse knew what we were talking about. Mickey Mouse was a foot in the door to wreck your family. I preached on Hollywood. Fellow walked up and said, you don't have to do that. Everybody knows our position on that. I said, how? He said, it's in our minutes. And I said, oh, I didn't know that. What did you tell me? I wouldn't have to preach on it. But before I quit preaching on it, I said, we're going to pass a copy of the minutes out to everybody that walks in the door. You see, we want the trumpet to be heard. Here's what happened. Here's a young preacher. Every young preacher starts off blowing the trumpet loud. So some older preacher gets a hold of him. Somebody says, the happiest fella in the world is a young preacher before he ever meets a theologian. I know. I met one time. I've been dodging him ever since. But here's the young preacher. Boy, he gets up and he preaches, hell, you better get born again. You better go to hell. And that's mighty good preaching, Buster. You won't beat that. You won't outgrow that. You may deteriorate from that, but you won't outgrow it. What happens? He blows the trumpet. And someone says, you're blowing too loud. So he gets a flute. And he plays the same method. Now, then he gets a harp or a violin or a saxophone. Brother Hand, can you imagine that sergeant coming by reveille time with a violin? Huh? You don't like that kind of preaching, do you? That's why you need it so bad. You say, you're sort of uncouth for a reverend, thank you. Let me ask you a question. Do you know what I believe? Then I must be getting the point across. The sergeant. Reveille played softly with an orchestra. Here's a little gal playing on a little flute. No, sir. Boy, the guy got outside the window. Listen, I still don't like a bugle to this day. And the sergeant walked in, and he
didn't say, "Good morning, beloved."
And he didn't wear a robe!
Big barrel-chested buzzard walked in.
"Hey," he said, "the Japanese are coming! Hey, Germany just attacked! They're dropping bombs! Get off, you lazy!"
Censored.
"Yeah, take the children out quick."
He didn't play a flute. He played a trumpet.
Funny thing to me.
Turn your television set on, and every time you turn it on, some extremist is screaming about rotten filth. If we don't get a generation of prophets to call our few people back to God and blow the trumpet, we're gone as a nation. I mean gone. Look. In El Paso, Texas, they defeated the sex education they're trying to put in the schools there because they had enough fundamental preachers that would preach like I'm preaching tonight. Now, that's the great need. Well, you say my pastor's against it, but he just doesn't quite say it like you say it. But as long as you get the idea and the whole town gets the idea. Somebody said, "You'll chase folks off." I'm not interested in chasing folks or bringing folks. I'm interested in preaching the truth to those that show up. And I've got a conviction as deep as my soul that God's got a lot of good people that'll show up. I'm simply saying, my brother, the time has come when everybody's playing the trumpet but the preacher and the church. The third thing is the uncertain trumpet. The unblown trumpet comes from liberals. The unheard trumpet comes from preachers who believe right but won't preach it. But there's the uncertain trumpet. Our colleges and seminaries today are turning out preachers by these thousands. They're spending so much time teaching them tact that Dr. Ryan says they don't make contact. I like what that fellow Noel Smith wrote about my debate in Christian Life magazine with this liberal in the middle of the rotor. He wrote and he said, "I never did like words like committal and committed and communicate. Or he said, "I don't like that anymore. I like folks that spit on the sidewalk." He said, "Say what you mean." I believe that. They call the new birth now complete committal. Why don't you call it a new birth like Jesus called it? He said you must be born again. What's wrong with that? What's wrong? What's wrong with blowing the trumpet where folks can understand it? Blow a certain sound on the trumpet. What's wrong with that? God pity. Now I'll say this. Some of you people, you come out to First Baptist occasion, you visit. You want to hear a trumpet solo every once in a while, but you want violin music on Sunday morning. So you come out here for a harp concert, for a trumpet concert, and then you go back to your harpist on Sunday morning. I'm a harpist. I harp on everything I know of that's wrong. And ain't nothing that's wrong I ain't fiddle with. I'm simply saying it's time you got your family in a church where people believe like you believe. It's time you got, yes, for the house, I live 50 miles away. I don't care if you live 1,000 miles away. Get a jet plane and drive, fly up, fly up. If you've got to go to a church where the trumpets play clearly. Well, I can recall when I was a kid going to my Uncle Roy's house. He lived, let's see, I guess he lived about 15 or 20 miles from where he went to church. And he went in an old car. And I can recall when they told me they used to go in buggies. Well, I guess, going to church, they didn't come home. They had dinner on the ground. They would get up early in the morning, and they'd chug that old car and get stuck and back it up and crank the crazy thing. Remember the old crank you used to have? If you didn't do it too good, you'd... And remember the old spark? You stuck here on the side. On one side was the throttle. The other side was the spark. You poor kids don't think about this. Old Model T Fords. And they'd take your car, and it'd take them a half a day to get there, a half a day to get back. But they stay all day. Why? It's what they call it, meeting Sunday. It's meeting Sunday. Didn't have preaching every Sunday. They only had it about every quarter time. But they'd go to Sunday school three times, and a preacher would come by and preach once a month for them.
But they'd go and stay all day. Now, I'm simply saying, you better get your child under a fellow who blows a certain sound on the trumpet. It's hard enough in this generation to rear a kid when the fellow blows a certain sound. Now, I'll tell you what, sometimes I look over here at these kids, and I wonder if any of them are going to stay out of the penitentiary. And if anybody's clear, when I say, stand still, shut up, you and you, I can't blow any more certain sound on the trumpet. And I worked at it awful hard to raise these kids right. And yet, you know, sometimes I get discouraged and think, wonder if it's worthwhile. Well, brother, if with all the preaching they get and the teaching they get and the warning they get, pray tell me, how can kids grow up today without a preacher that gives a certain sound on the trumpet? The uncertain sound. But what happens is folks don't... Here comes the enemy. Preacher gets up and says, hey, the enemy's coming!
You don't say. The enemy's coming. I think. If you don't mind. He's coming, as it were, in a fashion. It's all right? Well, let's have a deacon meeting and ask the deacons if it's okay if the enemy's coming. Well, let's ask the rich fellows if they mind me saying the enemy's coming. I dare one of you deacons to tell me how to preach. Or all of you. I dare one of you rich rascals to try to buy me off. You've never seen the fur fly like you'll see it fly. And you've seen it fly. Here. So what happens? Folks say, we just don't like war. Well, I don't like war either, but good night, they're coming. Let's go get them. We don't like attacks. And so the preacher says, okay, I'll play the coronation sound on something if you like that better. And the enemy comes, and war comes, and defeat comes, and death comes, and it's the preacher's fault. He's the guy that's supposed to blow the trumpet. Look, the man who's supposed to stand for righteousness in a city is a man of God. And every pulpit in a city ought to be a warning place where folks are warned about the devil and warned about wrong and warned about evil and warned about the coming wrath of God. Then they go on. The fourth trumpet is the unheeded trumpet. I won't have time to turn to the scripture, but Amos chapter 3 and verse 6 says that they played the trumpet and played it clearly, but folks wouldn't listen to it. The unheeded trumpet. I guess the hardest thing I face as a preacher. You see, I know some things you don't know. I've been to preachers' meetings. I've been to the preachers' schools. I've sat in the classes. I know. Listen, when I went to college, there's a pastor right now on the board of the school where I attended. He's pastor of a large church. He's one of the leading Texas Baptist pastors. I can hear that fellow saying to me when in college, time and time again, Jack, what do you mean born again? What do you mean born again? I don't know all that. Why, he said, I think I'm a Christian, but I don't know when it happened, and I'm not sure that I was what you call converted. Now, that man tonight fills one of the biggest places in the Texas Baptist Convention. I can hear that fellow behind me in Greek class now saying, psst, 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 Jack, what's the answer to question 4? And I'd say, I'll ask the fellow in front of me. No. I can hear that man trying to cheat on Greek tests so he can learn to teach and preach the Word of God better. Now, that man became an evangelist and goes up and down this country tonight preaching as an evangelist who cheated his way through Bible college. I wouldn't give you a dime for a carload of them. Now, I know some things you don't know about. I know what goes on. And I'll tell you what, my brother, there's only one problem we have in America tonight, and that's a preacher problem. I was down at Winston-Salem, North Carolina, and I was preaching, and a little lady stood up and said, we have a testimony meeting. And the lady stood up and said, I was saved under my own preaching. A lady. And I thought, what in the world's coming now? And she said, I was 6 years old, we were playing church, and I stood up, and as my day to be the preacher, and I stood up and said, if you don't get born again, you're going to hell. Playing church. And she said, the Holy Spirit convicted me under my own preaching, playing church. And I stopped our little service and got saved then. I was preaching in my old home church, grew up, actually, as a preacher. I went there at 25 years old, stayed there till I came here 10 years ago, last Friday night.
By the way, one of our families was there. I didn't know it was after the service. But I preached there. And a young man, he's 31 years of age now, named Carmen Hartsfield. Carmen came, drove from Dublin, Texas, probably 100 miles to get to see me. Hadn't seen him in 11 years. One of my finest young men at Middle Road Baptist Church in Garland. And I talked to Carmen a little while, not long. David was with me, and he talked to him, sat with him in the service. When Carmen was a 17 or 18 year old boy, God had called him to be a preacher. I went out in the country one day and found an empty house and rented that house so Carmen could start a church out in the country. And he started the Spring Creek Baptist Chapel out in the country. And it was just what the name implies, Spring Creek Baptist Chapel. We took the living room and knocked the wall out between the living room and dining room, put a little chapel up there, put a pulpit right in front of the fireplace, and put a little sign out in front, and he had preaching there. One Saturday, Carmen was coming up to church, and he said, Brother Hyle, I need some chairs to put in my little chapel for tomorrow. We're having a big special day. I need some chairs. There's a man there in our church named Cortez Pippin. Cortez was there that day, had overalls on, and he said, let me help you, Carmen. And so the two of them loaded a pickup truck with chairs and drove them out in the country to the Spring Creek Baptist Chapel. They got out in the country, and Cortez said, Carmen, I'm a little backslidden. I just feel cold in my heart. He said, I need something to help me get warm. Cortez used to shout. He'd always say, praise Jesus. That's what he'd say. He didn't shout. He'd say, praise Jesus. Not real loud, just a little bit. But in the service, he'd say that. And he said, I'm a little cold. And Carmen said, and he had overalls on too, he said, well, I've got my Bible here, and in it is the sermon I'm going to preach tomorrow morning. Now, he said, if you will sit down out there, I'll preach it to you. Well, Cortez sat down, one fella, and Carmen got up. I saw him just last Friday. And Carmen got up and opened his Bible and preached the entire sermon he was going to preach the next day. Well, Cortez got happy, and he said, praise Jesus. And Carmen got loose, and he just cut loose and preached. There he is in the pulpit with overalls on, one fellow sitting out in the audience with overalls on, and the whole truck being unloaded on one fellow. Well, suddenly the door opened over here on the left, and a young fellow walked in, 17-year-old lad. How would you feel if you walked in a country house, saw a fellow in overalls standing up hollering and screaming about, I guess he's preaching about cigarettes, that's what we always talked about in the hotel, and one another fellow sitting out, one fellow in the audience saying, praise Jesus, amen, praise Jesus. Well, that's the way he felt. So he came on in, he had a seat, took off his hat and had a seat. Carmen didn't break stride, he just kept on preaching. Now he had doubled his crowd. That's pretty good growth, you know. He had doubled his crowd. And so he kept on preaching. The time came, he finished his sermon. He said, now would all of you bow your heads? And all two of them did. They bowed their heads. Now he said, is there anyone here without Christ you'd like to be saved? And would you believe it? He said, raise your hand for prayer. And that fellow who walked in late raised his hand for prayer. Carmen stood, he said, okay, we're going to stand and sing Just As I Am Without One Plea. Everybody sing it. And Cortez sang it, the invitation, by himself. And he was a bad singer. And stood up. And that fellow came down the aisle and got converted. Why? It's not your organ music, and it's not your formal worship service, and it's not your robes, and it's not your atmosphere, and it's not your candles. It's the preaching of the Word of God that gets people saved. We had one of our teenage boys, he's now pastor, one of our teenage boys was one day talking to another teenager about Christ, and he tried to win him and couldn't win him. And so the teenage boy said, how do you get saved? He said, well, he said, nah, I don't know exactly how to tell you, but he said, hey, I got Brother Hyle's outline. He preached last Sunday morning. And if you'll come to my church, I'll preach it to you. So David Loster, I think, the one it was, if I'm not mistaken. David got that boy, brought him the old auditorium over here before it burned, and sat that kid down in that empty building, and David got up and preached the whole sermon, and the kid got saved. Why? It pleased God for the foolishness of the preaching to save those that believe, and that's the great need. Somebody to sound the trumpet. Now, you hear me, and you hear me well. If you are not saved and you die in that condition, you're going to go to hell. That's the clear and plain sounding of the trumpet. If you are not saved, you've got to get born again by faith in the finished work of Calvary if you go to heaven. That's a clear sounding of the trumpet. If you die without God and go to hell, you'll burn forever and forever and forever. That's a clear sounding of the trumpet. Jesus is coming again. It may be tonight. When he comes, he'll divide those who are saved and those who are lost, and those who are lost shall be left. Could be tonight. That's the clear sounding of the trumpet. This book is God's Word, word for word, in the original language inspired by God as He breathed upon holy men of old. That's the clear sounding of the trumpet. If you're saved, you ought to get baptized as soon as you can. That's the clear sounding of the trumpet. If you're saved and have no church home where this word is honored and preached, where the trumpet is not sounded clearly, you ought to have one. That's the clear sounding of the trumpet. And if tonight you're saved and you don't give God 10% of your income, you're walking on thin ice and God's going to lower His axe on you and you're going to face the judgment of God and God's going to send you to a premature death or God's going to send tragedy to your life or your family, that's the clear sounding of the trumpet. If you're not right with God, you ought to get right with God, and that's the clear sounding of the trumpet. May I beseech you tonight, may I beseech you first to the people of this church, if this pastor drops dead tonight, if I do not preach you another sermon from this pulpit, you call you a man that'll mince no words. You call, as long as you're in this church, you stand and you call a man who'll mince no words and sound the trumpet clearly every time he preaches. And if the day comes when you have a minority vote, and they call a man that does not make a clear sounding of the trumpet from behind this pulpit, if you do not know he believes the Bible is the Word of God, if you do not know he believes the virgin birth, if you do not know he believes the perfect life of Christ, you do not know he believes the atonement, you do not know he believes in a heaven that has golden streets and a hell that has fire, and you cannot swing the vote, then you get out. Just get out. And if ever in my absence from this pulpit when I'm away, if perchance some man should stand in this pulpit and say the Bible is not the Word of God and cast doubt and reflection upon the cardinal truths of this book, every one of you men, run as fast as you can to the pulpit and tackle him and take him out and throw him in the street. In love. It is a sad commentary on America when the prophets of God don't have any more decency and any more convictions than the hoods do. I would hate to be a Father Groppy at the judgment bar of God. I'd hate to be a preacher trying to cram sex education down the throats of our kids in our schools standing at the judgment bar of God. You say, preacher, I didn't know what you believed about that. Well, that's why you came. To find out what I believe. And that's what I aim to tell you when you come. Now, it's time you folks that belong to churches that have uncertain sounds got you a church home where the trumpets played clearly. And it's time we prayed for God. Listen, you young preachers, you Moody students, God pity you. If you go out and pastor churches and don't blow the trumpet so everybody can understand what you're saying, God pity you. I'm not concerned about you not blowing the trumpet. I'm concerned about you, however, blowing it like a flute or putting a muffler on the end of it. I'm concerned about that. Make the message plain! I like what Dr. Monroe Parker said. He was about to preach one day, and a rich fellow walked in. I think this is the story as he told it. Anyway, for some reason or other, he decided to preach a message. It wasn't so tough as the one he was going to preach. He decided to trim it a little bit. And the choir sang that night. That song, what is the name of that song? It says, make the message plain. Christ receive a sinful man. And Dr. Parker was sitting here in front of the choir, and he's going to trim his message a little bit. And the bass had a part, a real loud part, when they said, make the message plain, make the message plain. And Dr. Parker said, he sure was dead, and that chorus was over the first time. And so he said he came down to the chorus again, and they sang it louder than ever. Make the message plain, make the message plain. And the third time they sang the chorus, he said, okay, Lord, I'll preach the sermon you want me to preach. And he preached it and made it plain. And that's what the world needs tonight. A certain sound on the trumpet. A certain sound on the trumpet. I like the fella, and my mind's running wild tonight. It may run wild for the hour, too. I don't know. Everything I think about 10 more things. I like this fella. He said, boy, that's the best horse you ever saw in your life. He told his friends, that's the best riding horse you ever saw in your life. And the fella said, okay, prove it. But a guy got a big old 2x4, about that long. He ran over. He hit that horse in the head, knocked him down, hit him across the back end, and knocked him almost unconscious, and then got on him. And the fellow said, he said, what did you do that for? Well, he said, there's one little thing about this horse. You've got to get his attention first. Now, you're not going to wake folks up with a flute or a fiddle. It's going to take a trumpet. It's going to take a trumpet. Now, tonight, if you're here and you have not lined up your influence, your life, and your family in a church that plays a certain sound on the trumpet, you need to get you a church home. This is Mother's Day. And I'm glad I preached tonight a sweet Mother's Day message. I knew you'd want to hear one before the day was over. This is Mother's Day. Mothers, you keep your children going to church and Sunday school where the message is not plain, where the trumpet is not played clearly, and one day you'll be sorry. I started to say a while ago, I guess the hardest thing I face the preacher. See, I played the trumpet. I blow it loud, I blow it long, it's heard, it's certain. But the unheeded trumpet, the unheeded trumpet. I've had young folks sit over here in these pews where you sit tonight. And I've begged them to do right. I've warned them about tragedy down the road. I've cried, I've preached, I've hollered, I've screamed. But they wouldn't listen to those of us that love them. They went on and married some unconverted person. They married some fella. The girls did. That Brother Hyle said, don't do that. Don't do that. But they went on. I blew the trumpet. It was played clearly. But no, you wouldn't listen. They wouldn't listen. And I watched them as they go away from God, away from God's will. I guess one of the hardest things I face is to play the trumpet and folks don't listen. I'm thinking now, I could tell you case after case after case going through my mind. A young lady going with a young boy. He drank liquor. He promised her he'd quit drinking. But I said, don't marry him. He's not a Christian. Don't do it. He's not one of the good boys. Don't do it. But she went ahead. She married him. Wasn't three months, I guess. She came back to me. Her life was wrecked. Her nose was all, face all swollen. Nose was all puffed up here. Her face was swollen. It was black and blue where he had hit her. I blew the trumpet, but she didn't listen. Young folks, listen to me tonight. I look here because most of you are over here. Now, you may think I'm a nut. And you may think I'm a hardball fundamentalist preacher. Okay, I'll tell you what you do. You do everything I preach from this pulpit, and you won't be sorry you did. And you just won't. You say what you want to say. I know I'm 18th century. One theologian said to me not long ago, yeah, you're 18th century. I said, brother, I'll tell you what. They had dead sure a lot more we got in the 20th century. Now, you listen to me, and you listen well. You think you're smart. You go ahead and suck on those cigarettes and act like you're a big guy. You get down here to school and get across the street to that little restaurant and you get yourself all fixed up like this, put your hand in your pocket and get your pair of blue jeans that you have to saw you out of and hot rod it around town and go out and neck with every old girl out on the street and park in these parks and run around with the wrong crowd and go ahead with the drinking crowd and be in the mod group, you know, and go ahead and have your hair grow long, you boys, and wear your long hair, and you girls wear your mini skirts 3 or 4 inches above your knees. Go ahead. Don't you ever let me when I'm preaching to you. Girl in the white blouse, don't you ever laugh at me while I'm preaching to you again. You heed. You listen. And I'm warning you about a devil that's trying to take your soul to hell and wreck your life, your body, your future, everything that's right and decent. He! People just like that all across this church have not heeded. And tonight they lie in places of sin and heartbreak and heartache. Homes are broken and wrecked and ruined and lives are in shame. Why? They wouldn't heed. Unheeded trumpet. Unheeded trumpet. I recall that man in Texas, Mr. Parker was his name, up in years. He came to my church. I begged him to get saved. He said, no. I begged him. I blew the trumpet loud and clear. He wouldn't do it. He wouldn't listen. He wouldn't get saved. One day I was at home. They called me on the telephone. They said, rush to Cann Memorial Hospital downtown in Marshall, Texas. I jumped in my car, went down to Cann Hospital, went up to the second floor. I walked in, and there was Mr. Parker under the oxygen tent. He was trembling like this, and his brow was broken out with beads of sweat.
And he looked up at me, and his eyes were frenzied, and he said, "Preacher, it's hot. I'm burning. I'm burning. I'm burning. I'm burning." And I watched that man go to hell. I watched him go to hell. I heard him describe it while he went. "Help me, preacher. Help me. I'm burning. I'm burning. I'm burning." I watched him go to hell. I thought of the times I stood before that man and cried and wept and pleaded and begged and blown the trumpet loud and clear. And he would listen. He would listen. I recall that night I preached to a young man. I won't tell you his name. He came, he's 22 years of age. He laughed at me while I preached. That's one reason why, brother, when I preach a message like this, you better listen. You better sit up straight. You better listen. You better heed. That young man, he laughed while I preached and walked out and said, "Not me." And he came down the front after the service, and I begged him, and he said, "Not me." He got out in his got in his car and drove, and less than 5 miles away, a drunk met him on the top of the hill, and head-on collision it was, and that man went to hell that night. Why? He didn't heed. I recall that morning when I stood and preached to a small crowd of people in my church. Over here on the right, there was a couple. Name was Barry. Never forget it. She was a big, tall lady, very, very attractive lady, I guess in her middle 30s. Gruff-looking, but attractive. He was a very refined kind of fellow. That morning when invitation time came, with heads bowed and eyes closed, his hand went up on one side, hers went up on the other. Neither knew the other hand went up. They both clawed the pews. They cried. They sweated. A conviction gripped them all during invitation time. Neither came. The next Thursday night, I got in my car and drove across town to their house. I'll never forget it. I got on my knees at the front door. I talked to them over 2 hours, and they wouldn't get saved. I gave the message. I played the trumpet clearly. I got on my knees, and I begged them on my knees to get saved. I'll never forget it. And she said to me, she said, "God killed a little baby for me years ago, and I'll never trust a God like that." On my knees, I said, "God, in His mercy, knew why He took that baby. Maybe it was the baby was going to be afflicted. Maybe the baby would have mental problems. Maybe God looked down and saw what was going to happen in the future, and God wanted to avoid some heartache and tragedy." She said no. And on my knees, I begged her. Her name was Barry. I went to Dallas, Texas for a couple of days with my home. When I got back, I picked up the newspaper, the Marshall News Messenger. I picked up the newspaper. Headlines across the front said, "Mrs. Barry shot Mr. Barry in cold blood. He was on his knees begging for mercy." Less than 2 days after I got on my knees and gave them the trumpet, a certain sound on the trumpet, that man was on his knees begging for mercy, and his wife got a gun and put it right here at his head and shot him down through the head and down through the throat and down through the neck, and he was dead. Before she knew it, she got in the car and raced off down Highway 43. Going 80 miles an hour over a hill, she lost control of the car, plunged into a tree at the bottom of the hill. I can see the tree right now, right across the street from the Grange Hall Methodist Church. And she was in hell. The unheeded trumpet. The unheeded trumpet. A man came to this church not one time, sat over here in this auditorium. He did not heed the message. Less than 6 days, he was shot in cold blood in a murder here in this town. I have said you case after case that curled your hair. A people who've not heeded the trumpet's call. Now you hear me, brother, and you hear me well. When God honors you, I'm not a good preacher and I know it, but I'll tell you what, I'm an honest, sincere, earnest preacher, and I blow the trumpet where you can understand it. There's not a person in this house tonight to walk out that door and wonder what I believe about anything that I've spoken about tonight. You've gotten the message clear. You've gotten the message plain. When you come to hear a man of God and he warns you, you'd better heed what he says. You'd better heed what he says. You young preachers tonight, you're going to be pastors one of these days. You laugh at me. You criticize Hiles. You criticize fundamentalists. You say we're rabble-rousing. Do what you want to do. But you're going to face God one day for what you do with a message when you hear it preached plainly and simply. You're going to face God. Brother, we haven't got time to play church. The country's going to hell. We don't have time to go down deep, stay down long, come up dry. We have a nation towering tonight on the brink of disaster, ruin, and catastrophe. Somebody's got to do something. Now, you may have time. Listen, Paul Revere didn't run through saying, "Hello, George. Hi, Sue." He had a message. The British are coming. When Jonah went to Nineveh and preached, he said, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be destroyed." He preached it loud and clear. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, you've heard the trumpet sound tonight. You've heard, and you hear it sound
time after time, week after week, across this desk. And you'd better get saved or your hell will be tenfold hotter than it would have been if you'd not walked inside this church. If you're here and saved, but you do not have a church home where the Bible is believed and preached, one day you'll stand before God and give an account, because God will say, you heard a man of God preach in uncertain terms, or in certain terms, the clear sound of the trumpet, and warned you. Look, when I take my kiddos and I at this church on Sunday morning, I rejoice. I rejoice and delight to know what kind of people are teaching my boy and my girls. My boy sang a while ago. He was the one that was on tune. Only one, I think. He sang a while ago. He's the one who's got the red nose and the red face. He thought that instructions on the sun lamp, he thought it said 2 hours and it said 2 minutes. He's going to suffer 2 weeks. But I thank God that my boy has grown up. Now, forgive me for putting it this way. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be cocky. But I just thank God that my boy has grown up under the preaching of a guy like me. I mean, it's not very good if Brother Sure has been loud. I don't even sure. He knows what's right and wrong. He does. Now, I've hung some gerunds and split some infinitives and dangled some participles in these years. But you've gotten the message. You've gotten the message. You've gotten the idea. You're going to face God if folks walk out the door where you preacher boys, if they don't know there's a hell that's hot and a sin that's black and a heaven that's real and eternity that's long and a Christ that saves. Are you here without God tonight? Let me make it plain. It's Christ or it's hell. It's the new birth or eternity without God. Are you here tonight without a church home? Let me make it clear. You will face God for the teachers that teach your boys and girls in Sunday school, and the man who stands behind the pulpit and preaches to your family. Are you here tonight and not tithing? Let me make it clear. You are walking on dangerous ground. You'd better give God that which is His, or God's going to pour His wrath and judgment out upon you. Are you here and outside the will of God? Get back in the will of God. Get right with God. Has God called you to preach? Then preach! Has God led you to be a missionary? Then do it! Do it! Do it. These are no days to flirt with God.